C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Here's your money briefing for Monday, August 23rd. I'm Charlie Turner for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for J.R. Whalen. Suppose you get a job offer from another company but aren't sure you want to take it. Should you use the rival offer to negotiate some better terms with your current employer?
The truth is, it's a hard market to hire in right now, so I think mostly employees do have some leverage.
Coming up, our Work and Life columnist Rachel Feinsig joins us with some advice on how to leverage that offer with the boss. That's after the break.
C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
So you've gotten a job offer from another company. It's not perfect, but tempting enough to make you think about your present work situation. So what do you do? Do you go to your boss and mention the new offer as leverage to get what you want, a raise or better working conditions? Or keep it to yourself and make a decision on your own? Our Work and Life columnist Rachel Feinsig is here to talk about navigating a rival job offer. Rachel, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Rachel, we've had you on the show a couple of times recently talking about various aspects of leaving a job. So let's talk about how getting an offer from another employer fits into that. If an employee is thinking about going to the boss about this rival offer, what are the potential pitfalls?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously not risk-free. I mean, the biggest risk is that your boss is just like, congratulations, like, best of luck. And then you have to leave, you know, even if it's not an offer that was perfect that you necessarily would have been out the door for. There's also a risk that they offer you something better and you stay. And then things are weird. Your manager is, you know, there's like a little bit of acrimony, or there's super high expectations, and you're kind of not able to smooth that over. So there are definitely ways that this can go wrong.
Rachel, it's a tight labor market now with companies looking for talent. Wouldn't a worker more likely be in the driver's seat when approaching the boss in such a situation?
Yes, it's going to depend on the industry and your specific company. But in a lot of places, yes, I think this is the perfect moment to do this. I think people have a lot of leverage. I mean, look around your company, you know. Is your company, have they been losing people? Are they kind of desperate to keep people on staff? Do you feel like you're indispensable? I mean, the flip side of this is that if they're doing a lot of hiring, they might just have a ton of people in the pipeline and be like, okay, it's fine if we lose Rachel. You know, we have like five other candidates. But the truth is, it's a hard market to hire in right now. So I think mostly employees do have some leverage.
You've talked with executive coaches and recruiters about this scenario. What do they say an employee should be thinking about prior to meeting with the boss?
Think about what the precedent is at your organization. I mean, this really depends. Like, the last time someone did this, did they just like get sent walking? And does your boss have the ability to say yes or no to this, or are they going to have to run it up the chain? And if they have to run it up the chain, what does that person think about whatever it is you really want? So if you really want to work from home and that's kind of your like end goal here, you're trying to kind of use this offer as leverage to get permanent work from home, what does your boss's boss think about, you know, working from home? I think you really have to go into this with a clear mind as to what the possible avenues are and how people feel about what you're asking for.
And how should employees conduct themselves when they actually sit down to discuss the rival offer with their boss?
I think it's all about the way that you frame it. I think if you take it to your boss and you don't like frame it as if like it's this ultimatum, you're on your way out of here. But if you say like a recruiter came to me, or I really want to stay, but this is making me think about the job market and my future career here, and I don't want to feel like I'm giving up so much, you can show that you're conflicted. And I think kind of the way in which you communicate this situation will go a long way toward what the outcome is and what your options are. A professor told me, if possible, it also helps to have this conversation in person. Obviously, that's hard with the pandemic, but even if you can sit outside, you know, over a cup of coffee with your boss, there's research showing that people are kind of more likely to get what they're asking for in negotiations if they ask face-to-face versus, you know, over email.
Rachel, are there better or worse times to have this kind of conversation?
One compensation expert I talked to told me that you know, ideally, especially if you're going for more money, you want to ask about 6 months after your company's annual process. So kind of like right in the middle there. If it's too close to the point at which they're going to be giving everyone raises, they might just roll it into your normal raise and you're not going to see that much of a pickup. So I think that's one thing to think about if you can control that timing.
You've also talked to a few workers who've received job offers from other companies. What happened to them?
Yeah, so I talked to a few workers who had been through this before. I mean, it kind of covered all possible outcomes, right? There was someone who didn't really want to take an offer, brought it to her company, tried to use it to get, you know, a better role, more money, and they promised her that it would happen, and then it never did, and she was kind of stuck there for a few months. And so she learned, like, you know, you can't cry wolf. You have to really be serious about walking if the company's not going to give you what you want. Someone else I talked to, she was underpaid. She found out her coworkers were all making 20% more than her. She got another plum job offer, took it to her boss, and that was the leverage he needed to actually go out and get her that raise to bring her up to par with other people. So I thought that was a really effective use of this technique. And then I talked to someone who decided just not to do it. She felt like, if she stayed, she might just feel a little resentful. Like, why, you know, if the company matched the other offer, why wouldn't they have just paid her, you know, $100,000 to begin with? And so she, you know, just left on really cordial terms. And that was the right choice for her in that situation. So I really do think it's an individual situation and people have to kind of, you know, just evaluate where they're at, where their company is at, and what makes sense for them in the moment.
And finally, Rachel, you've got several more tips on how to bring a rival offer to the boss. What are they?
One big one is using rationales. So obviously you have all this leverage just from having another offer, but like that's you can't just like just waive that. Like you should also just make your case. So, you know, if it's that you want to work remotely, talk about how productive you've been, you know, while working remotely during the pandemic. You want to kind of give them extra reasons to give you what you want. And then another is just like, think of this as a networking opportunity. It doesn't have to be adversarial. This is a chance to talk to folks at another company. This is a chance to maybe talk to higher-ups at your current company, you know, if you're going to have to go to your boss's boss to kind of put this offer forth. So just kind of think of it like that. One career coach told me it's, you know, you think of it like relationships, like you're kind of trying to see if you can stay in this marriage. Again, it doesn't have to be kind of like a meeting of enemies.
Wall Street Journal Work and Life columnist Rachel Feinzig. Rachel, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm Charlie Turner, filling in for J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.